third caution. He's to be careful who you submit to. Verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ, or since you died with Christ, from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, here the problem is submitting to the ideas of men instead of submitting to God. Paul says in verse 20, where he directly touches on the idea of the transformed life. He says, you died with Christ from what the world teaches, from the basic philosophies and teachings of the world. And he reminds us that we have entered into life with Jesus. We have literally died with Jesus. We have died to all of the regulations and all of the philosophies and all of the teachings that the world would impose on us. We're no longer living under those regulations. And he illustrates that by do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And he asks the question, why? Why are you living in the world? Why do you subject yourself to these man-made regulations that tell you not to touch certain things and tell you not to taste certain things and tell you not to handle certain things? Why are you submitting yourself to man-made rules and regulations when you have died to the world and all that the world wants to impose on you? I'm sure that you have run into this in your life, that many people think that Christianity is just a killjoy religion. It's just a big list of what you can't do. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do something else. But the Christian life is much more than a list of don'ts. Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Now, listen, let's be honest here. There are certain things a Christian should not do. We are not to lie. We are not to covet. We are not to commit murder. There are things the Bible teaches we're not to do. But the problem that Paul is surfacing here is not what the Bible teaches, it's what people teach. People have added on to the biblical commands. The Pharisees did that back in the time of Jesus. And Jesus reprimanded them for that. They took the Old Testament law and they added other regulations onto it until it was impossible for anyone to know what they should and shouldn't do. And they made the list a whole lot longer than the biblical list. Some commentators, in looking here at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21 especially, have pointed out that the false teachers were promoting an extreme form of self-denial. The idea was that the more you denied yourself, the more pleased God would be with you. And so if you could just make your list longer and longer and longer, and you strive to keep those things, it would just show everybody how holy you were. Some of us in our younger days were raised in fundamentalist churches. That's not all bad. But many fundamentalist churches added on to what the Bible taught. And the longer they could make the list and the more things they could add on to it that you had to keep, it just showed how holy you were and how righteous you were, and God would be happy with you. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in verse 22 about these man-made regulations. He says, which all concern things that perish. Every man-made regulation is going to perish because they center on temporary things, things that will not last for eternity. So the choice for each of us is to submit to what men say we should do or to submit to what God says we should do. And the apostle cautions them, and it's a good caution for us today. Be careful who you submit to. Be careful that you don't put the ideas of men and the rules of men and the regulations of men over what God has said or in place of what God has said. Now, Paul ends this chapter with a summary in verse 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. What the false teachers were teaching sure sounded good. It sure sounded wise. It sure sounded like what we ought to do. Yet they have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. The things that these false teachers were insisting that people do sure look like good things. But in spiritual terms, they were of no value. They weren't going to make God more pleased with you. They weren't going to make you stronger spiritually. They weren't going to make God happier with you than He already is. They had the appearance of wisdom, he says. But they are of no value. They won't help you, he says, against the indulgence of the flesh or against the temptations of the flesh. Listen, you can stay away from all the food you want. We'll take this down to Jewish terms. You can stay away from, you can observe all the festivals you want. You can be absolutely in attendance on the Sabbath every single Saturday, those things aren't going to help you battle the temptations of the flesh. They will not help you live a transformed life. You see, the transformed life that Paul talks about in the book of Colossians is about more than rules and regulations. The transformed life is about Jesus. The transformed life is living like Jesus. It's being transformed into His image. And if you begin to earnestly live like Jesus, the things that you should do in your Christian life and the things that you shouldn't do in your Christian life because the Bible says you shouldn't, those things are going to fall into place. You won't have to go out and look for more rules and more regulations to add to your list. When you live like Jesus, you will do the things that Jesus did, and you will stay away from the things that Jesus stayed away from. Your life will begin to take on a new way of living. You will live a new life. And so the Apostle Paul's cautions are still relevant for us today. Be careful who you listen to, folks. Listen to God. Be careful what you value. Value Jesus. Be careful who you submit to. Submit to God. That is why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to win a victory for each of us so that we don't have to be enslaved to the ideas and the philosophies and the opinions of men, even good Christian men. You see, Jesus set you free. Paul talks about that, especially in places like Romans chapter 14. Jesus set you free. He says, don't put yourself back into bondage again. Don't put yourself into bondage by trying to do what people tell you you should do and you shouldn't do. The Bible has enough of that. go to the Word of God. See what the Word of God tells you you should do. See what God says you shouldn't do. The transformed life is a life that is lived for the glory of God, and it is the life of ultimate freedom. Freedom to live like Jesus. You see, sin has enslaved each of us. Sin has brought all men into bondage and made us slaves. It is Jesus in His victory on the cross that has given us freedom, that has broke the bonds of sin, that has nailed your sin to the cross, so your sin has died with Jesus. And in Jesus, you can have new life, you can have freedom, the freedom to live in bondage to God. Transformed people will live transformed lives. And if you say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm a Christian, but no one else knows that. I'm a Christian, but by your life, you can't demonstrate that. You are not living a transformed life, and something is wrong with your Christianity. It's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity teaches that when God transforms you, you will begin to live like Jesus, not perfectly, not all at once. I told you some weeks ago about my friend Peter, who at the age of 18 or 19 had his own, and this is clear back in the 1960s, had his own rock group, was making more money than any 18 or 19-year-old ever made, had his own touring bus, had his own Corvette. And one day when Peter came to Jesus, his life changed just like that. He went into his kitchen and he took all of the alcohol out of his kitchen and he poured it down the drain, and he told me, he said, never has a drop of alcohol touch my lips again. Now, I'm not telling you that having a glass of wine is sinful. I'm just telling you, for Peter, that's where he had to draw the line, because he was quite a boozer. And his life was transformed immediately. It doesn't happen to everyone that way. Some of us struggle to live the transformed life. For some of us, it takes years and years and years before people see that there's something different about us. But I can tell you this, you will always make some progress. Oh, you'll make progress and have setbacks, and progress and have setbacks, but you will always be making progress because your life has been transformed by God. Be careful in your life who you listen to. Make sure you're listening to God. Be careful in your life what you value in life. Value Jesus, not your religion, but Jesus. Be careful who you submit to. Submit to God. Would you pray with me? Father, our prayer for those who are listening today, and for those who may even hear this sermon sometime in the future, our prayer is that they will see that they need to live a transformed life. And that transformation begins by recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God. That when He died on the cross, He died so that we can have forgiveness for our sin. So that we can have a new life in Christ. The old songwriter said, new life in Christ, abundant and free. And that's the life that you have for us. A life that is better than anything we can imagine. A life that is better than we can manufacture for ourselves. A life that is better than Satan whispers in our ears, you can have this and this and this, and you can be happy if you just follow me and do these things. That's no life. Only God can give us a life that is designed for today and for eternity. To be free from temptation. To be free from guilt, to be free from sin. And so, Lord, we pray that You would touch hearts and lives today by the Word of God, and that some might come to Jesus in faith. For the Bible teaches that it's by grace, the grace of God, that we can be saved through faith. Not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in anything that we can do, but simply believing God. Lord, touch lives today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And if we can